Watchman Shofar.
Welcome to this new roundtable titled A White Horse in the White House. And I find this very interesting since Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, just had a solid win in the Michigan primary. This is the voice of God's watchman, Brother Johnson. I have with me here today Dr. Evans and Pastor Ralston. Now, as we discuss the Mormon prophecy of the white horse, please note most false teachings mix in just enough truth to make them plausible or believable. We do not agree with Mormonism, nor do we agree with their Mormon doctrines or writings, be they called prophecy or whatever. Our desire is to reveal what is false by utilizing the truths of God found through studying the Holy Scripture. Now, in 1999, U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch, a faithful Mormon, announced his candidacy for President of the USA. It has prompted interest in an obscure Mormon prophecy by their founder, Joseph Smith. Senator Hatch alluded to the White Horse prophecy during an interview on a Mormon church-owned radio station. He said the U.S. Constitution will be hanging by a thread and a Mormon church elder will ride in on a metaphorical white horse and save the U.S. Constitution. Now, in the Holy Scripture-inspired Bible book of Revelation, it says this, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, just quickly, an excerpt from the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, Volume 1, 1992. The LDS attachment to the Constitution has been further encouraged, it says, by an important oral tradition according to which the Constitution would hang by a thread, and it would be rescued, if at all, only with the help of the saints. Now, I believe that statement is referring only to LDS or Mormon saints. What do you think, Dr. Evans?
I agree with you there, but I'd like to just throw this in. If they believe that they're going to be that person on that white horse that's going to come riding in, that's the Antichrist, and I could say that would fit the religion very well because it is not a true religion. It's a false religion. There's always been a false religion, and sometimes people have never studied it or looked at it, and they've got these prophecies, like you say, that they think that if they can get one of their men in office, they can straighten out things. Moral majority group feels the same way, sad to say, and yet we don't find that in the Bible. We find that salvation is by grace. It's not by some dictator trying to tell you who to serve and who not to serve. So this could be very possible.
Amen. Now you know a little bit why he's the Chancellor of King's College. Pastor Ralston.
I would totally agree also what was said, and I believe the Mormons have revealed themselves as being a false, because it just so happens that it's only the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who has opened up the seal concerning the revelation of these horses coming through, the horses of judgment. And it has to do with deception, so to speak, in order to trick people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, which is talked about in the book of Thessalonians, that they're going to be given unto them a lie. So to reveal themselves as being the one that's come, you know, the white horse prophecy and the ones that are going to be the ones that are going to bring salvation to the world, I disagree with that. And I want to allude to the fact that they're supposed to be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Yet they only honor Jesus as a prophet and not as the Lord God Almighty himself. And so just that alone shows that there are of the false. Because, you know, if you remember the time when Jesus says, well, who do you say I am? And some of them kind of alluded to, you know, being some prophet or whatever. But it wasn't until Peter says, you are the Son of the living God, and had a revelation. He had heard the voice of Almighty God and understood who Jesus was. So it takes revelation, not reasoning. And I believe that the whole thing about the Latter-day Saints is a religion of reasoning.
Amen. If you're a Mormon out there listening to this, I just want you to know that we love you. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. And we're not here to coerce you in any way, but God has called us to bring you the truth. And the truth is there's a lot of error in the particular church that you're in, like many of the other ministries, but this just happens to be the subject of this particular round table. So I'd like to continue. Joseph Smith was purportedly to have said, I love the Constitution. It was made by the inspiration of God, and it will be preserved and saved by the efforts of the white horse and by the red horse, who will combine in its defense. Revelation chapter 6 goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereupon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What do you think about that, Pastor Ralston?
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be the rider of the white horse and knowing that the rider of the red horse is going to take peace away from the world. And so to admit to the fact that they're going to be the leaders of that, again, shows that it's all part of the Antichrist system, because only the Antichrist system would try to rob peace from the earth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he only comes to bring peace.
Amen. Dr. Evans.
That's true. And that goes on to say right there that the red horse comes to kill. Red stands for blood. Whoever's on the white horse, the person that follows him and works for him, is going to kill people. Now, that's not Jesus Christ, that's for sure. He come that we might have life, and that more abundantly. He didn't come in to kill, he come to give life.
All right, I'm going to throw one at you here. We've had some discussions about this, Dr. Evans, and I believe Pastor Ralston and I also. It says there was given unto him a great sword. Now, a lot of people would attribute this to Jesus because Jesus is supposed to have the two-edged sword. How do you comment on that, Dr. Evans?
Well, he also has a bow and arrow, so it shows that the person on the white horse is a man of war, not a man of peace. When Jesus comes back with his church, he only speaks the word. And when he speaks the word, peace takes over for the thousand-year millennial reign only. It's not by a bow and arrow. It's not by a sword. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Pastor Ralston.
Jesus Christ, when he comes back, according to Revelation 19, out of his mouth shall come a very sharp sword. I really believe that the sword that's being referenced to here in Revelation 6 is one that's going to bring physical destruction. It's one that's going to kill people, and that's exactly what's going to happen. I believe it, there's more references about a fourth of the earth, you know, the people being killed. It's not the kind of sword that Christ carries, no. And it's the sword that man would carry, and it's destructive. Just like the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Very destructive.
Amen. Revelation speaks of two white horses. This is only the first one. We'll get to the second one. Joseph Smith is also purported to have said, the time will come when the banks of every nation will fail, and only two places will be safe where people can deposit their gold and treasure. This place will be the White Horse and England's vaults. Now, I want to tell you, I find that very interesting. I would speculate the place of the White Horse would be the Mormon Church. What do you think, Dr. Evans?
Well, that's what he's indicating there. Like a lot of religions that have become a place to bring all your gold and silver, and they just hoard it up. Well, they're saying that they are going to be the only place. And I don't know why they picked overseas to make as their bank, but they want their bank overseas, unless because they figured the Antichrist was going to come out of overseas. So they're saying they're going to take all the gold and all the silver away from you and put it in their bank, and you're not going to get one penny of it unless you go to them.
The only thing I could think of was Joseph Smith being a part of the world elite or the Illuminati or however you want to call that. The New World Order, if you will, could be a setup, and it also could have a lot to do with what their roots really came from.
Pastor Ralston, do you have a comment about the banks?
You know, all I can think of is in the last days, which I believe this is talking about, which I do definitely believe that we're in, my Bible tells me in Revelation 17 and 18 that those things are going to be of no value at all. Only the word of the Lord that endureth forever. So if they're thinking that the finances of this world is going to bring salvation, again, I say they're already climbing up the wrong tree.
For people that are telling you to save your gold and silver, the Bible says in the last days you'll throw it in the street because it's not worth nothing. So if the Mormon church wants to gather it up, let them have it because it's not going to be worth nothing.
Amen. You both left me an opening there. I've always said that in the last days, you better buy pork and beans because a can of pork and beans is going to be worth more than a brick of gold. As a matter of fact, I think the Lord even uses it for paving in heaven, for asphalt in heaven.
Right.
Amen. Gold. Amen. Now continuing, Joseph Smith's purported sayings taken from the John J. Roberts Diary. I've not been mentioning that. This has all been taken from the John J. Roberts Diary that is available from many websites. The black horse will flee to the invaders and will join them for fear of becoming slaves again. Knowing that England did not believe in slavery, they will flee to them that they believe will make them safe. Armed with British bayonets, the doings of the black horse will be terrible. Pastor Ralston.
My understanding of the black horse in the scripture has to do with famine. When it talks about the scales and everything, and a time where there's not going to be a whole lot of food. And again, this is, comes after the sword comes out. Sounds like to me it's the rising of the white horse, the fowling of the red horse, and then the black horse. It just sounds like just continued utter destruction in such a way that they're going to coerce and force people to follow their idea of thinking. So, again, that's what I understand what the scripture is showing me. I would not want a part of that black horse.
That's so true because the Mormons are known for all the food they've got stored and all the people they take care of. And if you didn't belong to them, you'd have to go to them to get your food. So there's another look at that, too, right there.
Well, you're both right on. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. In other words, scales, measuring of food, all kinds of things like that. So that's pretty interesting, don't you think? I forgot to add that before I gave you that, but you answered it anyway. So continuing on from the diary, Joseph Smith said, during this time, the great white horse will gather strength. This is a very interesting statement. Sending out elders. Now, isn't that interesting? Always that word elders is stuck in there. Sending out elders to gather the honest in heart, and from among the pale horse, or people of the United States, to stand by the Constitution. Now let me just give the scripture first this time, okay? Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Dr. Evans.
Well, you know, if we're studying it for Revelation, that's talking about the sickness that's going to take over the world. But when you look at the Mormon religion and look at it that way, as we said before, there's certain groups of people they do not have any love for whatsoever. And if you're not willing to be a Mormon back in those days, if this was to take place, then if you want your food, like we said before, you're going to have to go to them. They're going to weigh it out. If you're not of them or don't want to be of them, it's easier to put you to death than try to feed somebody that's not going to serve you.
And I found that comment very interesting. Coupled with the mark of the beast, that makes it even more interesting, does it not, Pastor Ralston?
It does. I really believe when it talks about the elders, I only have to allude that it's got to be the devil's elders. Because it's not the Constitution that true believer is upholding, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to the salvation of those who believe. This whole idea of I've got to save the Constitution, I don't see that in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we need to hold on to more than anything else.
When we come back to that and look at it just in Revelation, we realize the white horse is the Antichrist. and all these things fit underneath him of what he's going to do with his mark of the beast and everything. But when we're looking at it, the way you presented it, and we look at both sides, we can see what a danger that would be, because that would be a church that would be more willing to follow the Antichrist than the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't believe that he's the Son of God. They don't believe he's God.
Amen. That's quite true. And I wanted to pick up on something Pastor Ralston said. That is that a constitution, I think pretty much our USA constitution has already been trashed. Things happening now that are unconstitutional. I mean, there's a free reign in our government that we've never seen before. And I find it very interesting, and I'm trying to stay away from too many names here, but I find it very interesting in election in general. I'm thinking that one of the people that are running for president right now is very heavy on the constitution. So lastly, this statement out of Robert's diary, purportedly quoting Joseph Smith as saying, "Peace and safety in the Rocky Mountains will be protected by the guardians, the white horse and the red horse. The coming of the Messiah among his people will be so natural that only those who see him will know that he has come." I find this is an interesting part. "This will not be his coming in the clouds of heaven to take vengeance on the wicked of the world." I think we better talk to our head of the Bible college for this one. Dr. Evans.
That's an interesting statement they have there. But then when you look to see where the head church is, you know, they're in Utah, and all the mountains that you can see around about it, they keep alluding to their own church and what they're going to do as Mormons. We know that this is not what the Bible is teaching when it talks about the last white horse that you're just getting to. The last white horse is Jesus Christ. When he comes back the second time with us for the 1,000-year millennial reign, we'll all be riding white horses with him, but it's not the way they're alluding to it. And what a lot of people need to realize, they need to study the Mormon church, and they'll find that Joseph Smith, their leader, was shot in a duel because he was caught in bed with another man's wife. What kind of a prophet is that?
How would you say it? No prophet at all?
No prophet at all.
Amen. Now, how does this line up with Scripture with you, Pastor Ralston? How would you preach this stuff?
Wow. You know, certainly I would go to the rock. The rock being Jesus Christ. I would go to the rock and the revelation of Jesus Christ, understanding that he is the Son of the living God, that he is God in the flesh. I would want to hide myself in him. Amen. I would want to go to what the scripture talks about as being Mount Zion and find myself safe in him. They're seeing their safety in a natural way, but the Lord tells us our safety is in a spiritual way. Hallelujah. We have to be born again. This is what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He only understood things in a natural way, but we need to be born of the Spirit. We were already born of the flesh. There needs to be a change that takes place so that we can understand the true heavenly mountain, the mountain that Daniel talked about, where the stone became a mountain and where it devoured all the rest of the mountains. We need to come to Jesus Christ and ask forgiveness of our sins, acknowledge him as our only Savior and Lord. And in doing that, we'll turn to God and we'll always be safe.
Amen. Now that's a pastor's heart. So let's review four of the so-called prophetic sayings in the Robert's Diary concerning those purported sayings of Joseph Smith, before we get to that last white horse. Number one, the white horse, according to Robert's diary, supposedly identifies the people of the Rocky Mountains as those who will establish Zion. Any comments?
The Bible says it's the Antichrist, so if they want to claim to be that horse, then they're telling us all they're going to be the Antichrist system.
Well, let me ask you this question. Who then establishes Zion, Dr. Evans?
The true Zion, Jesus Christ, will establish that on his second coming, we could say, when he comes with all the saints and he sets up and rules and reigns out of the New Jerusalem.
Excellent. All right. Number two, from the Robert's Diary. This is a summary now. The pale horse, according to Robert's Diary, supposedly identifies the people of the USA. Any comments?
The pale horse represents death. He's saying death to the USA. I don't like that thought. You definitely need to consider that's a death horse.
It almost leaves one speechless, doesn't it?
Right. And really, the Antichrist, which won't be the Mormon church, but they're saying they are the Antichrist, he's going to put every Christian to death. that won't take his mark, that's still here.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, the third review. The Red Horse, according to Robert's diary, supposedly identifies a powerful group that will play a significant role in the last days. Any comments?
I would say that is going to be a powerful group. And if they want to put it over on the Mormon church, again, we're looking at red is speaking of blood. They're going to kill a lot of people. Well, the Antichrist tried to kill a lot of people. There's going to be wars, rumors of war, bloodshed. That's not a good horse.
Amen to that. That's all I can say. Amen. Last point, number four. The black horse is not identified except as a force. What would either one of you have to say about that?
Force of evil. I would definitely say that the Antichrist is going to look to probably behead the believers. We see that right in Revelation following the next seal judgment that is opened up. Number five, I think, talks about those that will be beheaded, those who will be cut off. And it will be a thing of force. I don't know if it's going to have anything to do with the mark. It could be a little bit there, but it's definitely a government of force. There's no freedom in that. It's a government of force. And it's interesting, I want to allude to this, that the elders of the Mormon Church say that they're being led of the Spirit to do this. So I would never line myself up to that prophecy.
They may be led by the Spirit, but it's the wrong one. Dr. Evans.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add, black stands for darkness, outer darkness. And that's going to be a time of darkness. So that's not Jesus, he's light.
Amen. So let's finish up with some light, shall we? Thank you. Hallelujah. From the true Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 19. I'm just going to read some verses here. Verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Because many people in other countries that may hear this won't have a Bible, so I want to be very specific with these verses. Verse 11, Revelation 19, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Hallelujah. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Verse 13, "And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse." Now this is not, I believe, the same white horse as in Revelation 6.
Amen.
"Clothed in white linen, white and clean." Verse 15, "And out of his mouth," and we talked about this, "goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." Verse 16, and last, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written," an awesome name, a tremendous name, that just trumps that white horse in Revelation 6 right to the dust. "King of Kings, glory to God, and Lord of Lords." Now that's a bit different than what we read and discussed in Revelation 6. So with final comments, I'll begin with Dr. Evans.
Well, first of all, the earth is getting to the place where it's going to destroy its whole self. And that's when Jesus comes with us riding on white horse. He's going to have to rule it with a glove of iron or a hand of iron, it says there. So he's going to prove to them that all this could have worked if they'd only listened to him and did what he said. And we'll be here with him, serving under him, carrying out his word until it's time for the new heaven and the new earth to come.
Pastor Alston.
You know, I'm thinking what Brother Johnson often says about Jesus Christ, that he first came as the kinsman redeemer and the second time the kinsman avenger. Indeed, that's when he comes back and takes care of all those who have come against the innocent, who have come against the godly, and who have come against God, who have come against God's Son, Jesus Christ, and he's going to take vengeance upon them. And indeed, Scripture talks about how the blood will ride very high, and God finally takes vengeance for all the saints, hallelujah, and all his precious people. It's going to be a victorious thing in a time of great peace, the true peace, not like the false peace that's talked about in Revelation chapter 6, but the true peace that's talked about in Revelation chapter 20.
That's true. You know what he's talking about there, and it's something that people miss. Talks about the blood being up as far as the bridle on the horses. And people say, well, there's no horses. What about China and her mighty horse army that's going to march down there, try to get some of that land themselves in the last days?
Well, I want to say something. It might be just a little different than what we've been saying, but I used to go hunting a lot. I don't do that much anymore. I went to a hunting camp up in Canada to hunt bear, and the guy that advertised had this favorite saying, and it was all his advertising. It said, me no fool round. Well, I want to tell you something. When that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords and those trumpets sound, Jesus is not going to fool around. I mean, he's not going to mess around like we've been discussing all these other things that were being put forward by this white horse prophecy. He's going to come and he's going to take charge, and it isn't going to take him so long to get it accomplished. As a matter of fact, I think it might be in the twinkling or a blink of an eye. And I think these people are going to be defeated. It's going to be all over. The battle is going to be won. I may be wrong. I don't think it'll take him very long because he has all power and he has all authority. This is the voice of Brother Johnson, called by God's own voice to be his ordained watchman. And this is my simple but very urgent message, the last day. Signs the end times are upon the earth. Get ready. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Maranatha, my friends.